I want to begin the hour by talking about the immigration issue, since that's what everyone has been talking about this week, and specifically with regard to the family separation crisis on the border. But this is an issue with many, many facets, and it's an issue that people locally are deeply affected by as well, over and above what's going on and what's been going on the border for the last couple of months. We are joined here in the studio by Lynn Calder. She's an immigration attorney with Allen and Pinnix based out of Raleigh. Lynn, thank you so much for being with us today to help clarify some of these legal issues.
I'm glad to be here and to get a chance to try to put some legal words on the emotional issue.
Yeah. Because there's so many different facets to the legal issue, and I think you're right. There's a lot of words that have been thrown around, but people don't necessarily understand what the law is, how it's being applied, what the difference is between how it's being applied today versus 2 years ago, and things like that. So.
Right. So, as far as the border goes, which is the question du jour, I suppose, and I say that on Thursday early afternoon, not having looked at a headline in about 15 minutes.
And we should say we're pre-recording this earlier in the afternoon, so if anything has changed, it very
it's
well
not my
may
fault,
have.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And that's sort of been the way of it for the last year and a half, is that we get, I look at the headlines in the morning, and then I go to my sources for legal information to try to figure out what that headline meant and how it's going to be put into effect. And that's really been the way of it. But what's happening right now at the border is that over different periods of time, there have been greater influxes of immigrants from Central America, sometimes more than others. And lately, in the last several months, there's been a greater influx picked up on by the administration. So what the administration did through Attorney General Sessions is initiate a zero tolerance policy for these folks who are coming across the border. Most of the folks who come from Central America are fleeing either gang-related violence, domestic violence, just the fact that they can't live without fear in their lives. And this includes a lot of children. So what happens with the kids is that they are, the gangs try to involve them and initiate them, and if they don't want to be a part of that, then they get persecuted, and of course the parents are afraid for children who are of that age and younger, that it's going to happen to them later on, and parents are worried about themselves as well. So when they come to the border, they can go to a port of entry, a designated port of entry, and they can say that they want to apply for asylum in the United States. Or if for some reason they either don't want to go to that port of entry or aren't being seen there, then they may try to cross illegally. Mm-hmm. So this zero tolerance policy is against folks who are crossing without documents illegally, not at a port of entry. And the policy is that the administration is going to prosecute in federal court anyone who crosses the border illegally. We have not had that policy before, that we will prosecute anyone for this minor criminal violation. It is a criminal violation. It's a misdemeanor, but it's considered minor, especially for most of these people that they don't have a criminal history at all. Mm-hmm. And this is their first encounter with U.S. law enforcement, or unless they were a victim in Central America, an encounter with any law enforcement.
What can be done other than prosecuting for people who are kind of caught crossing illegally?
Well, that they can be subject to expedited removal, so mm-hmm. they can be questioned by Border Patrol and possibly removed in an expeditious manner. So basically turned around and sent back home, or sent back across the border of Mexico, or released and to pursue removal proceedings. Somebody who crosses either without documents or at a port of entry requesting asylum can try to express a credible fear of return to their home country, which is basically saying, I want to pursue asylum because I'm afraid to be there, and then there are special procedures for that. So with the zero tolerance, instead of being questioned by Border Patrol, or what that is, it's DHS. It's an agency of DHS. Mm-hmm. And instead of being questioned by them, they're automatically taken by U.S. Marshals and detained. But children cannot be detained while a parent is being prosecuted in criminal court. And that's why these children were being separated from their parents. There's sort of a history of problems, of course, with children coming across the border with parents. And so one of the things that's being talked about with the executive order that President Trump issued yesterday, mm-hmm. this other language is coming up called the Flores Settlement.
Right.
So the Flores litigation occurred in the 1980s when there was a huge influx of children coming in from Central America. And it was a district court case in California dealing with how the United States has to treat children.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain requirements, and one requirement addressed how long a child could be detained,
mm-hmm.
and in what kind of facility that a child could be detained. And basically, it came down to that it needed to be a licensed facility that was trained and capable of taking care of children, and also for a as limited a period of time as possible.
And that's the 20-day rule, right?
It's a 20-day rule, and that 20-day rule actually came up during the Obama administration,
mm-hmm.
because, again, this is a cyclical thing in some ways, and so during the Obama administration, there was a period of family detention. So the children were not being separated from their parents, but the families were being put in family detention centers. That was pretty bad, and this litigation came up again. So the settlement agreement was questioned, and they went back into federal court, and the judge said, okay, you got about a 20-day limit that you can hold these kids, these families, in detention. All right, so the administration has the zero tolerance, and they've been separating the families, and due to all the pressure, I think, that has been come out in the last couple of weeks especially, the administration has said, okay, we're going to end the separation of the families, the separation of the kids from the parents, but we are maintaining the zero tolerance policy,
mm-hmm.
that they're still going to criminally prosecute any adult who comes across the border without documents. But we're going to put the kids and the parents in a facility together. But what that's ignoring for the moment is that there aren't enough facilities,
mm-hmm.
for these families to be together. There certainly aren't enough licensed facilities. They don't have the kinds of caretaking that the settlement required and expected for children. And there's been no, as of this early afternoon, there's
right.
been no indication of how that's going to be addressed. And the other thing that's not addressed is how the administration is going to join together the parents and the children who have already been separated.
Mm.
You know, there are lots of horror stories about children being misidentified. I heard, I think, an NPR report this morning that a reporter went in and was investigating or inspecting a facility and saw 2 9-month-old children in the same little outfit, you know, with stripes or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it sounded horrible. But, and how would anybody know if they chose the wrong child? You know, there's no indication that, you know, when I had my child and she had on an ID bracelet in the hospital, I had on an ID bracelet, and they made sure that the child went home with me.
Right.
And there's no indication that any of this is happening there. So there's still this worry about what's going to happen with the children and the parents who already have been separated, and how they're going to implement this new family detention policy, mm-hmm. so fast.
Let me go back. We're speaking with Lynn Calder again, with Allen and Penix and Raleigh immigration attorney. And you mentioned that now with the executive order, the families are going to be essentially detained together. And people are saying, well, that's all well and good, but now you're just literally putting kids in jail with their parents. Is that accurate?
Yeah,
that's
pretty accurate. And there was a lot of protest about it during the Obama administration as well. These facilities are in the middle of nowhere on
mm-hmm.
the border, and then there was also a facility in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania, and that tends to be where they are. They are often privately run. They're commercial. They're contracted with
mm-hmm.
with the government, but they're privately run and they're for profit, which has been another concern. Is, you know, why are we for profit detaining
people.
I mean,
that's a whole separate issue with just the prison system in the first place, right?
It is. But there's very little access to attorneys. Mm-hmm. Immigration lawyers and law students and those who are trained and interpreters have been sought for the last several years to go to these facilities in Texas, New Mexico, Pennsylvania to represent people because there are no attorneys there. Mm-hmm. And there certainly aren't attorneys. And the other thing to know is that when you're in removal proceedings, not so much in criminal proceedings, but in removal proceedings, you have a right to an attorney, but you have no right to have one paid for. So it had been mostly women and children who were detained in family detention before. They may or may not have a lawyer. They certainly have very little way to get a lawyer unless there's somebody volunteering down there. There aren't nearly enough people who are able to volunteer, and they don't have access to their families. You know, mm-hmm. It's sort of a no place land for them. Statistics have shown that in removal proceedings, asylum seekers do so much incredibly better if they have a lawyer.
Right.
Well, you know, I suppose
it makes sense, yeah.
Because they are explained how their case should be presented and what the law is. They are very seldom granted if they don't have a lawyer. So it's criminalizing asylum seekers, mm-hmm. is what this program does. And it's sort of, you know, so while we're saying, or while the administration may be saying, we are only enforcing the law for people who come across the border unlawfully, there are laws in place and there are statutes in place in the United States that allow people to apply for asylum. And what this is doing is criminalizing that because they are being sent to prison or to a detention facility for crossing and wanting to apply for asylum. The other thing I don't think I mentioned before, that the stories are for the folks who are trying to go to ports of entry and basically turn themselves in to Border Patrol, say, I'm afraid to go home, I mm-hmm. want to apply for asylum. There are so many that they're being turned away or they may be delayed. And then they're, you know, frustrated. What do? They don't have any money. Mm-hmm. So they're sent back to Mexico. They're delayed in Mexico. They're not from there. They don't have family there. So you can't, you know, be surprised that they would then try to enter another way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So one thing that's been asked, and this is a question I don't know the answer to, a lot of people are leaving from like Guatemala and Honduras, right? And they're coming
El Salvador,
mm-hmm. right? Coming across Mexico to the right. U.S. Why not stop in Mexico? Why not apply for asylum there?
Well, you know, the United States, I don't know the asylum.
Okay.
The Mexican asylum policies, I don't truly.
Okay.
But we have a history of welcoming people who are afraid to live in their mm-hmm. home countries. And it's always, asylum has always been a bit political,
mm-hmm.
in fact, sort of a lot political, but this is an overt sort of ruling that you can't come.
Yeah.
You know, you can't come. And so, you know, one thing I wanted to mention too that's sort of an indication of exactly what the administration has in mind. Sort of bear with me here on the logic of this,
mm-hmm.
but it does all fit. Immigration judges, so if somebody applies for asylum from the border and they are either detained while their claim is pending or they may be able to be released until they have a hearing in immigration court, they're not going to be released, though, unless they can present a credible fear of that they're more likely than not to be able to prove asylum before an immigration judge in a long hearing.
Mm-hmm.
If they can show this credible fear, then under this new policy, it sounds like they're going to be detained through removal proceedings. That's the other piece of the order from yesterday, Trump's order from yesterday, is there's an indication in there that they want to detain the families through criminal prosecution and immigration hearings. Immigration hearings by immigration judges are backed up tremendously around the country.
Right.
Because we have too few immigration judges. So in some areas of the country, we're talking, you know, several years. in North Carolina at our immigration court in Charlotte. It's probably not several years, but it could be a year or two. But they're delayed a lot, and the judges don't have enough time to do all this. So,
And I think the president tweeted out earlier this week, we don't need more immigration judges. So he's already pushing back against people who say, well, let's add more infrastructure to the system, right?
Right. So immigration judges, though, are being sent to the border from other courts, from their regular courts, where they're already backed up, right? Then they're being sent to the border to handle these additional cases at the border. And I heard today or saw today that the Department of Defense is allowing some of their attorneys to go to the border to aid in prosecuting the illegal entries. So they're grabbing even U.S. Well, they're sort of temporary U.S. attorneys going to the border from the Department of Defense to help with the prosecution. So they're grabbing people from every place to deal with this border policy that they've got.
Does that then exacerbate other...
It exacerbates every problem.
Yeah.
And so about several months ago, I think it was in April, the Attorney General's office, which governs the immigration courts, came out with a memo and a policy that judges are now subject to a quota system and completion times for their cases. So they're supposed to complete a case within a year, and their personnel record is dependent upon this completion and sort of quotas. All right, so they're under this pressure to complete cases, but they're being sent to the border, right? In addition, if an immigration judge in the judge's discretion thought that it would make more sense to administratively close a removal case and let the person stay while something was pending. So if they had a petition pending by a U.S. citizen spouse and they might be able to get legal status in the future, a judge could close that case so it's off their calendar,
right?
And deal with it when the time was right. And the person didn't have a criminal record,
right,
they're
right.
doing the right thing and all the rest. The ability to administratively close in their discretion these cases has been overturned by the Attorney General within the last couple of months, month or so. But basically, the Attorney General has taken precedent immigration cases and is reviewing them and overturning them, some of them. Okay, and there are two in particular that affect this particular problem.
Right, right.
Okay, so one of them is this no administrative closure, which puts the pressure on completing cases at home, but now they're being sent to the border, you know, so there's that. And then the other case very recently that the Attorney General overturned this precedential law, asylum can be based on past persecution or future persecution at home based on your ethnicity, your religion, your political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. And this membership in a social group has been litigated strongly for the last 15, 20 years. What has resolved both at the appellate immigration court level and in federal courts of appeals is that individuals who are persecuted based on by gangs or people who are persecuted in domestic violence may be able to prove that they're in this particular social group kind of marked for persecution and that they can't get any relief from their own policing officials in their home country.
Which is, in fact, the case.
Right, because the police are, you know, paid off and run by gangs to a large extent. And also, you know, the domestic violence is seen differently in some other countries. So a lot of the families now coming to the border know that the case law has evolved into domestic violence and gang violence perhaps being a way to obtain asylum in the U.S. The Attorney General also took a case back a couple of weeks ago and overturned that for the most part. Basically, he said that in this group of cases that he thinks that the litigation had gone too far, that the precedents had gone too far, and that based on gang violence and domestic violence by a non-government person,
that wasn't good enough.
It's not. You can't present a credible fear and need for asylum at the border.
Is that part of the reason why people are not going to ports of entry and crossing
it
illegally
may be,
now?
But that's very, very recent. So may not have gotten down to Central America. But what it does show is the whole intent,
mm-hmm.
right? So immigration judges can't close cases that could be closed because somebody can get legal status, you know, at a reasonably future period, not
right.
years and years, but some reasonably future period.
They're being incentivized to close cases as fast as possible, right?
Well, right, and make decisions, and you can't base your fear in the same way that these folks are doing,
mm-hmm.
which is going to cause them to be detained.
Right, and then prosecuted criminally.
And then prosecuted. And so it's all very intentional if you look at the pieces of it.